Welcome back to XO, your unlicensed therapists. I am one of your unlicensed therapists, Kate, reporting live to you. Well, not live. This is objectively not live for you, but it is for me. This week, it's just me, and Robin will be back next week. She is a busy, busy gal with her waxing school and with all the millions of incredible things she does, so she'll be back next week. But for now, you're just going to listen to me for the next however many minutes, and I hope you enjoy. So first, let's check in. How's everyone doing? I am tired, but I'm great. I have my two emotional support beverages, which are, you know, getting me through, and I'm doing pretty well today. I have my perfect little dog Marnie right next to me. She probably will pop in to say something, most likely not. She's not very, you know, talkative. What version of myself am I bringing to the podcast today? I am bringing my most optimistic and, well, that's definitely not true. Why did I lead with optimistic? What a weird word. No. I am coming to you after a long day of work and rehearsal, and I'm feeling very grateful today. I'm coming to you as my most grateful self. Not my most, but a very grateful version of myself today. So my word of the day is karma, which does have a lot to do with the fact that I am looking at The Little Guide to Taylor Swift on my desk, which is courtesy of my mother. She got me it for Christmas. Thank you, Mom. And I think it actually has a lot to do with the topic of today, which is, are you really, all caps, a girl's girl, or just toxic and not self-aware? AKA, are you racking up good karma or bad karma in your everyday girly life? Now, I want to start by saying a girl's girl doesn't mean you have to have been assigned female at birth. You can be a girl's girl if you, really anyone can be a girl's girl, honestly. You can be literally anyone. And it's really, to boil it down, it's just being a good person. But, you know, we've kind of feminized it. So we're going to go with the feminized version of it for today's purposes. So that brings us to defining a couple terms that I feel are thrown around in our society kind of a lot and aren't quite well defined. There are three categories of girls, and I'm speaking in very broad strokes. This is very general, you know, there's a lot of subjectivity to this. Everyone is so nuanced. Every person is so different. You can be a little bit of a few. Maybe you're all of them at some points in your life. It's not meant to be like, if you are a girl's girl, you're a girl's girl forever. Or if you're a toxic girl, or you find, you know, I have some toxic behaviors that makes you a bad person. No. This is also just some entertainment value for you. So try not to take any of this too personally. But it's just my opinion on things. So take it with a grain of salt. So all that said, the three categories I have laid out are in descending order. So from like the what I would consider the best kind of girl and then what I would consider maybe not the best kind of girl. So the best kind of girl is the girl's girls. You've heard this term. It's very popular on pop culture these days. And I would say that these types of girls are never fucking over a woman intentionally. They do whatever they can to make sure that, you know, they stand up for and are there for other women. You know, men are always secondary to the girlies. And I don't mean like completely neglecting all the men in your life. I don't mean that. I just mean, you know, in the kind of nuances with between female and male relationships, which we'll get into a little bit later, or female identifying and whoever your sexual partner of choice is, because you can also not be a girl's girl if you are gay. It is possible. Or don't, you know, you get it. Sorry. There's a lot of, I'm trying to make sure that I am being inclusive of everyone because this can apply to everyone, as I've said. And essentially, girls, girls really stand up for what is right for the good of girl kind, if you will. These are the girls that are always, you know, making friends in the bathroom. And even if they don't know the girl that they're meeting, they're always like looking out for them. It could be like a girl from a completely different group that came to the bar with you and you're checking in with them. If they're talking to a guy being like, are you okay? Do you need me to like get rid of him? You know, that kind of energy. It's the girls. Girls are the ones that when you go to the bar are always, they have their eyes on their friends. They know what's going on. They're protective. of their friend's safety, and they're also always making sure that they're not neglecting their girl relationships and really standing with their girls when it comes to boy relationships, especially when it comes to if two girls like the same boy. We will get to that. In that situation, a girl's girl would always choose her girly over the sexual partner of choice, in my definition. So that's a girl's girl. We love them. I would consider myself one. I have definitely in the past engaged in pick me and toxic girl behaviors. I am not a saint. I'm human, as you all are, as we all are. So it's possible to kind of dip your toe in each of them. But, you know, I would say that, like, as long as you are mostly a girl's girl, I think that can... like that constitutes you as a girl's girl. Like you don't have to be 100% of one 100% of the time, because we're human. We screw up. It's just how it goes. But as long as it's the majority, I would say as long as you're like 85% and above a girl's girl, you're in the clear. So the next category, kind of the next tier down, would be pick me girls, PMGs. Pick me girls are kind of the middle ground, the transition zone, if you will, between girls' girls and the toxic girls, which are the last ones we'll get to. Pick me girls are very insecure. They thrive on male validation. Oh my God, they love it. And they can still be good friends, but you like can't always really trust them because they're always going to put their own self-interest above you, especially, you know, I'm clearly really into this bar metaphor. These are the type of girls that you will lose at the bar, most definitely. These are the girls that if you, you know, you cannot count on them to watch your drink. You cannot count on them to, you know, make sure that if a guy was bothering you, they're not going to be the ones to get you out of that situation, really do you a girl solid, because odds are they're trying to attract a partner most of the time. That's what they want. They really enjoy validation from others, specifically men, if they're into men. And it can be a little bit, they're not great in that regard, but they can be good friends sometimes. Also, these girls tend to have like one or two, maybe three friends that they really ride for, that they are girls' girls for, but they're not like perfect girls' girls, if that makes sense. So we have faith in the pick me girls. You know, they can be annoying, yes. They can be very, you know, bro-y and like, oh, I never got along with girls. We'll get to why that is, maybe. It's those types of girls. Now, the toxic girls, which are the last ones, these are the ones I have the most problem with because I just don't get them. Like I said, I have in my life, you know, had toxic tendencies and maybe had a pick me tendency, but I think majority speaking, I am mostly a girl's girl, or I'd really try to be, and I'm try to be as self-aware as possible. Toxic girls have a similar definition to the PMGs. Isn't that fun? But their loyalties, the toxic girls' loyalties, always lie to themselves or to the male attention or sexual partner's attention that they are pursuing or that they want. And these girls, the way they differ from the pick me girls is pick me girls, you know, like do have girlfriends. They do ride for some people and they are trying to be girls' girls. They do it. They really are trying. But, you know, the patriarchy still has that, you know, their claws in them, and they're still, you know, picking out the claws. Toxic girls, you know, really have no interest in becoming a girl's girl. Either they have no interest or they just are not self-aware, like I said in the title, or just toxic enough self-aware. That is super possible. Normally, not being self-aware comes along with not being in therapy, not have, you know, had many friendships in your life, good, deep friendships in your life. Mostly for women, on average, the closest relationships come from other women. The deepest relationships do normally. So these women, you know, really lack in that department, which is probably why they tend to skew a little bit more toxic in this way, and to skew more towards the validation from men. And really common phrases from them are like, well, I've only ever really had guy friends. I never fit in with girls. All the girls in my life have been horrible to me. I've lost a lot of girlfriends in my life. Like, those are kind of common themes with these girls. So those are just some like phrases, like, or some ways to pick, you know, find the differences between the three categories. The pick me girls and the toxic girls like kind of overlap, but those are the key differences between the two. With the toxic girls, it's so hard because they are so frustrating and can be really hurtful. Sometimes their actions can be very hurtful to others. But honestly, I've thought about it a lot. I've been through a couple relationships like this where I think I was very close to a toxic girl. And I have realized that it's not always the toxic girl's fault that they are the way that they are. Like I said, they haven't had a lot of female friendship. They haven't had a lot of, you know, opportunities to find reasons to trust other women. That could stem from anything between being bullied in middle school to, you know, their relationship with their mom to literally anything like that, to like the type of content they're consuming, all of that. They might have trauma they need to work through. Like, it's this whole, all of those things. They often have this mentality of like, it's me against the world. Everybody hates me. Everyone's out to get me. That's often their narrative, and also like a skewed view of what loyalty is. I think being a girl's girl does mean uplifting other women and being champion of women and always supporting other women's choices. However, I do also think that I think another big part of being a girl's girl is making sure you're keeping your girlfriends accountable. You know, you can still champion women and also critique if you think something is maybe not the best choice. Or if you think that they're leaning a little bit more pick me, a little bit more toxic, that's like another big part of being a girl's girl, is keeping your friends accountable and keeping the other women around you accountable so as to not hurt other people or other women. And sometimes that gets skewed in a toxic girl's brain because they view loyalty. They're like, well, if you're a girl's girl, aren't you supposed to be like unwaveringly loyal to me and like always support everything I do? And that's true to a point. However, if you are consistently doing bad things to other people and hurting other people's feelings and blaming the world instead of looking inward, that's where we draw the line. That's where there's a problem. And that's kind of when you fall into the toxic girl category. But like I said, it has to do a lot with experiences. And so it's important for us as women and as people to just hold empathy for them because it comes from a place of hurt, not from a place of malice. And if I've learned anything in therapy, to tie it into this, the theme of this podcast as a whole, is that the key to really anything is if anyone's ever hurting your feelings or being mean to you, it's often never about you and always about something that's going on inside. It's from some pain or trauma or scar that's being pushed or being reopened that's causing, you know, that hurtful behavior. And so I think that, you know, encompasses why we should hold empathy and kindness for them and do our best to really uplift them as well, because you're not really a girl's girl if you don't uplift those girls too, or at least try. Now, I know that in the past, I've been, you know, there have been certain toxic girls that have come into my life, a few that I've gotten really close to, and, you know, things blew up in a crazy way, and I handled some of those things not great, and if provided with the opportunity to apologize and to, you know, admit that I handled things wrong, of course I would. The difference is I am a girl's girl, and I'm willing to do that, versus the toxic girls probably wouldn't be willing to meet me there because they lack that self-awareness and they lack that empathy at the end of the day for other women. They have a distrust in women. It's just, you know, a self-fulfilling prophecy. They're like, oh, there goes another one that, you know, fucked me over. Can't trust them. Screw that, you know, and no change happens. So all that to say, it's not their fault. It's just they're a product of where, how they grew up and how they have experienced the world, especially other females. However, it is their fault, you know, when they say they have self-awareness and they say they understand when they hurt other people and that they are really good at emotionally regulating themselves and are really good at knowing and having confrontations with people and having conversations with others. And they often say that. I find the most dangerous types of toxic girls are the ones who say that and kind of trick you into thinking that maybe they're a girl's girl. And then, you know, they're really not, because when you do bring things to them that are hurting you or that you feel are not, you know, girls, girls behavior, they meet you with defensiveness and insults and just cruelty, honestly. And it can be really hurtful. So there is a limit to which, you know, our empathy and maybe not empathy, but a limit to which we understand, you know, why they are the way that they are. We can understand it. It's still not an excuse for the behavior. So I think it's important to remember that as well. honestly, with the toxic girls, I mostly just feel sad because when you meet a girl and they end up not being a girl's girl, it's so heartbreaking because you can see they have the potential to be such a great friend and a great person, and they just won't get there. Either they don't want to, or they're afraid to, or whatever myriad of reasons why. At the end of the day, you can't make someone be what they don't want to be. So oftentimes you have to step away. And that's really hard because female friendship is so important, especially as another female or a female identifying person. It's so important, especially because we live in a patriarchal society where, you know, the system or our society was not made with us in mind. Obviously, there are levels to this, as I am a white woman, a white cis woman. So I definitely struggle the least from my other female or female presenting counterparts. But I think generally speaking, females are, you know, in a patriarchal society that was not built for us, that was not built for us in mind. And even though we've made strides and things keep moving forward, it's not enough. So being a girl's girl and having female friendship is so important because we really see each other. We really understand each other. There is like that beautiful feeling of feeling seen and understood that I think if you identify as a female, we have this common understanding, this understanding of girlhood and femininity and the divine feminine. Like, we just get it on an intrinsic level. And it's just nice to talk to and be with other people who understand that life and understand that, you know, existence. And so female friendship's important to like develop that side of yourself, keep you in touch with your femininity, especially in a world in which, you know, femininity is not rewarded. It is more rewarded to be masculine. And I'm really lucky that I have had a lot of really beautiful, wonderful female friendships in my life. I hold my girlfriends so close to my heart. They are the reason that I am what I am. They are the reason I take risks. They are the reason that I can pick myself up after I'm down, as well as, you know, therapy and all those things. But really, it's, you know, leaning on my friends is really important for me. It's a supplemental and very important supplemental act for me, along with therapy. And I went to an all-girls school all throughout my life, ever since I was 3 until college. From like 3 to senior year, I was in an all-girls school, and it really taught me a lot about female friendship and the importance of having a good group of friends, a good female or female presenting support system. It just, I mean, it's so hard to explain, but most of you, like most of the people listening who are female presenting, you know, like it's just this beautiful feeling of being seen. It's like a warm hug that's like sparkly and glittery and has SZA playing in the background. Like, that's kind of what it feels like. And it's honestly why I joined a sorority in college. For the record, I did disaffiliate when I was a senior. There's lots to be said about the sorority system. I'm sure we will talk about it in another episode. But the female friendship is so important, and it really gets you through some dark times. And like I said, it's about being seen. And I feel like so much of mental health and why a lot of us have mental health issues, at least in my generation, is just not feeling seen. We, you know, whether that be by our parents or society at large, it's just this not feeling seen, not feeling heard, and it gets bottled up inside, and that, you know, manifests to anxiety and depression and OCD, et cetera, et cetera. So having female friendship, having girls and friends that you can count on to really uplift you in those moments of doubt or sadness or, you know, frustration is really important. There have been so many moments in my life in which my friends have really carried me through. And a perfect example is my first breakup. Because at the end of the day, sexual and romantic partners, you know, come and go. And there are a few lucky of us. There are a few of us that are so lucky to meet a partner that stays with us for a really long time. But our girlfriends are there forever. Like, if you really invest in your female friendships and really cement them, those are the people that carry you through your life and carry you through the dark times. And of course, if you're lucky enough to have a partner that is well suited, you still need your girlfriends. You still need other ways to expel emotional energy. You know, one person can't be the crux of all of that. And Robin and I are planning another episode about, you know, allocating your emotional resources to other people and how important it is, whether you're single or in a relationship. With therapy, as I spoke about before, toxic girls often have no self-awareness, or at least know that they are not self-aware and don't do anything to become aware. So therapy is like so important for this. And my therapy journey, as I've said, I've been in therapy for 5 years, and it's taught me a lot about how to self-regulate in my friendships generally, but also in my female friendships. And there is a common, sometimes competitiveness that's between women. Often women are pitted against each other. We see it all the time in pop culture. I know that I saw it a lot growing up, as well as in theater. It's a huge, huge, huge problem. There's, you know, growing up, slight tangent, I feel like the common thing that women tell their daughters is if another girl is mean to her, it's, oh, she's jealous of you. Ugh! Which is just like the worst thing you could say to a young girl. That teaches her to compare herself to other women and to take other women down in her head, and in turn also take herself down. It's just, I really will never say that to my child. I don't even say it to my younger cousins, who I talk to a lot about, you know, girlfriend problems to or with. And I've never once said it's because she's jealous of you, because I just think that's so damaging. But it is a reason why female friendship can also be really hard. Self-awareness can also be really hard. And sometimes your female friends really promote self-awareness because we see you. As I said, female friends make you feel seen for who you really are. And sometimes you don't like that. Some people don't like that. Toxic girls certainly don't like that. And therapy is so beautiful for that, because it promotes self-awareness, it promotes self-acceptance and accepting the parts of you that you maybe don't like. Therapist has such a beautiful way of both validating whenever my feelings are hurt and validating my emotions, but also reminding me to hold empathy and to hold kindness for other women, or really in any relationship, but especially my female friendships. And in moments in which I have felt very clouded in anger or in sadness or frustration or doubt, she has always been there to remind me that I am human and so are they, and everyone makes mistakes, and kind of to remind me that we have to stick together. Women have to stick together in this day and age. It's just, really, we all should stick together and support one another, but specifically females should. And I'm really grateful for therapy for that. And I hope that all of you go out and get therapists if you don't already. It's so beautiful as a woman to have specifically a female therapist to really also make you feel seen in those most vulnerable moments, because there are a lot of them as a female. And we need the structure of therapy to kind of help us both challenge ourselves and have empathy for ourselves and for others. It's really important also in therapy to know when to step away from a relationship, or rather not in therapy, but therapy helps you find where your lines are. And I have gone to therapy many times and had been exhausted by a relationship, and Rebecca does a really good job of helping me find where my lines are. And as a girl's girl, it feels so wrong to leave a female relationship behind. It feels so wrong to cut off another woman, even if they're hurting us, because we think, oh, we can help them. We can help them be better. You know, that's what you do as a girl's girl. That's what you do as a woman who supports other women. You support them and you help them through the hard times. But if it's draining you more than you're helping them, and if they are so resistant to the change, it's just not worth it. At least I found in my experience. My therapy tangent over. So the last part of this episode is how to dig yourself out of the toxic girl hole and become a recovering one. A disclaimer is these are just some things that I've collected that I feel would help. I am not a licensed therapist, as in the title of this episode, in the title of this entire podcast, actually. these are just my opinions and things that I think I've learned over the years. And my credentials are I am a girl's girl and I grew up in a all-girl school and I have lots of female friends who I love and have been friends with since I was four. So I think that gives me a pretty good rapport for giving this advice. So number one is get into therapy. Become self-aware. Sometimes you have to realize that you are the problem, so please stop blaming everyone else and maybe take a little looky inside and think, how am I contributing to this issue? It also, therapy, like I said, is a real great place to start healing your inner child and healing your inner, you know, especially your inner relationship with your own femininity and with other women and your innate distrust in women if you are a toxic girl. So it's a really good place to start and start becoming self-aware, kind of working through those uncomfortable emotions in therapy so that when you do get out into the real world, you are prioritizing maintaining good and healthy relationships, but bringing your, you know, more baggage and trauma to your therapist. Also, something to be said, a small disclaimer, self-awareness is really hard. Like, I'm not saying this in the sense of like, become self-aware, it's not that hard. Like, no, it's really hard. Sometimes you find things you don't like about yourself. And I feel like that's the majority of the reason why toxic girls don't want to change or are resistant to it, because it's scary to change. And it's scary to become completely self-aware of yourself because there's going to be shit you don't like. Like I, in my 5 years of therapy, oh my God, I find something new to dislike about myself all the time. And it really sucks, but it's also really beautiful. I've been in therapy long enough to know that changes are possible and you can change and become better or a better version of yourself. While it is hard and sometimes not very comfortable and sometimes just heartbreaking, honestly, to learn some things about yourself, it's really important because it helps you not only in your female friendships, but just in your life generally to be a happier person. Number two is kind of along the same lines of becoming self-aware, is be ready to take accountability for hurting people, even if it makes you uncomfortable. This is really hard. Being willing to say you're sorry. Being willing to be like, you know what? I fucked up. I'm sorry. I'm working on being better. But then actually do the work to get better. That's the key here. Number three is one of my favorites. Consuming content that is female-centric and uplifting to women. Hi, everyone. Just your editing Kate coming in to give you a disclaimer, because apparently that's a trend with this podcast now. I'm about to give you a book recommendation and you're not going to hear the author. Why, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. In editing, apparently that soundbite got lost when I was transferring it to the program I edit in. And I was trying something new. I tried a lot of new things in this episode. Needless to say, I will not be trying them again. So I apologize for the sound quality and some weird things. But all that to say, the author I'm about to talk about and rave about really is Bell Hooks. That's it. Okay, keep listening. Bye. Oh my God, she's perfect. She wrote this book called All About Love that is about finding love within yourself, which is so important, as well as finding love with others. She talks a little bit about, you know, male presenting and male identifying folks, but it's mostly about women and from a female's perspective, because she is a woman herself, or identifies as a female. And she also has this other book called Conversations, I believe, and that's specifically about the pursuit of love as a female, or the pursuit of female love. I haven't gotten that far into it, but I love her writing style. It's so easy and it's so uplifting. It just really helps you feel less alone, honestly. And it's uplifting and it makes you feel inspired. Every time I read her stuff or really anything that is female centric, I feel inspired and I feel like I can do just about anything. So if that's any endorsement of that, there you go. The last one is, I feel the core of this episode, and at least the core of what I was trying to say, is find female friends, period. But also female friends that you think are girls' girls to their core, and befriend them, learn from them, be willing to listen and change your behavior if your friend says what you did hurt them, or they felt it was not very girls of you. I don't really know if anyone says it like that. If they're like, well, that wasn't very girly of you. Maybe I'll start saying that to people. But finding friends that uplift you and also that you feel uplifted, you feel like you want to uplift as well. It's a good way to like try out your new hard skill of uplifting other females and being a girl's girl. So those are some tips and tricks that I think get you out of the toxic girl hole. And those are very brief and kind of to the point. And I could flesh them out more if you wanted to, but honestly, I don't want to be speaking for 2 hours, and I don't think you want that either. The last thing I will say is something I wanted to touch on earlier, but I'll wrap it up here, is when it comes to specifically if you are interested in men, that can become really hard when you are a recovering girl's girl or a recovering toxic girl becoming a girl's girl. Because a lot of times I feel like I hear the narrative of like, well, me and my friends like have completely different types, so we'll never fight over boys. First of all, don't ever fight over a man with another girl. My God, don't ever do it. It is never worth it to lose a friend over a mediocre boy. And I'm sure he is mediocre. It's just never worth it. Because like I said, you know, the lovers come and go, but the friendships, ooh, those girls are sat with the super glue on the seat. All that to say, when it comes to male validation, it kind of ties into that last point about how to get out of being a toxic girl, of finding female friends you think are girls, girls. Because honestly, if you start listening to the way that they talk about women and the way that they treat their female friends, it'll start to rub off on you. And you'll kind of find that that practice of prioritizing your friends in those situations will become easier. And I never think a man is worth it. At the end of the day, I meant to say that earlier, but men are never worth it. Anyway, that's all we have for you today. Me and Marnie, that's all we've got for you today. I hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you next week. All right. Be a girl's girl. It's so much fun.